going down right now with the Joseph Bar Podcast. Make sure y'all watch the Joseph Bar Podcast. Breaking off right now. I am the KID, the Kid Capri. You know what it is. Salute. Block party action. Me.
Welcome to another episode of the Joseph Bar Podcast. We got another guest here today. This week, we got Elisa Alvarado, Dr. Elisa Alvarado, PhD. Welcome, Elisa.
Thank you so much, Josabeth, for having me today. It's a pleasure.
It's an honor to have you here. Once again, at the Josabod Podcast, we're here and we're discussing a little bit about who Elisa Alvarado is. I was doing some reading, and most recently I was seeing that you are a candidate for Congress. You're a congressional candidate. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, sir. I'm a congressional candidate for Texas Congressional District 15.
No need to call me, sir. You can call me Jay. We're very casual here, but here at the Joe's Bot Podcast. Ma'am, can I call you ma'am or can I call you Elisa? Is there a nickname that
Elisa's great.
All right, Elisa. So talk to me about why you decided to run for Congress. I mean, I remember having a conversation with a buddy of mine, and his thing to me was like, hey, don't stop until you get to Congress. And why would he say something like that?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say don't stop until you get to Congress. I'd say don't stop till you get to the White House. But I definitely think that Congress is where legislation is passed and laws of the land are made. And in the House of Representatives, there are over 480 representatives. And so each of those representatives holds the best interest of the district. I think one of my main reasons for wanting to run was the fact that this congressional seat right now is in jeopardy. It's in jeopardy of turning Republican. Now, District 15, since the 1800s, has been a Democratic stronghold. And when the opportunity came up to run for this open seat, it was, to me, just eye-opening. I woke up in the morning and I just said, you know what? I went to school and I read about this and I worked in DC and I was able to see the impact members of Congress have. And I have a responsibility to my community. And that's exactly why I decided to run for Congress.
Wow, that's pretty deep. So you had an opportunity to work in DC. How did that occur?
So it's a funny story that you say that. I was waiting to hear back from different job opportunities. And I went to the internet and I saw this website and it said, write your rep. And basically, I got on the website and I wrote my representative, which at the time was Congressman Ruben Hinojosa. And I wrote a really short email and it said, you know, my name is Elisa. I'm from FAR. I just got into George Washington and I really need a job. And I'm a hard worker. I'm from your district and I know that I can do a great job. And so I sent the email and my friends all made fun of me, mainly because they said, you're such a nerd. Nobody even reads those emails. You know, you're going to send this email and it's going to go into La La Land and, you know, nobody's going to call you back. So 2 days later, I was about to take off. I was packing. It was the last day that I was here in the Valley before I left to Washington, D.C. And I got this phone call at that time was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know if you remember, Josabed, but before we had iPhones, we had like these really clunky flip phones.
You talking about the flip phones or are you talking about the, the Nokias? Because funny story here with the Nokias. Do you remember? You know, this was way before. And again, the Nokias were like the easiest thing to ghost and to hack. There was this, there used to be this type of like number that you can type in. And then all of a sudden you got a working phone. Remember that?
I remember that. Well, I didn't have a Nokia, but I had
a Qualcomm,
a really clunky phone. And yeah. So it rang and it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I was dead asleep and I picked up the phone and I said, hello. And they said, this is Congressman Ruben Hinojosa. And I hung up and I was just like, I cannot believe the last day that I am here. My friends are pranking me. And this is, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I have a 24-hour drive. So I went back to sleep. And 2 minutes later, the phone rang.
Again.
And it said, we were disconnected. This is Congressman Ruben. Click. And I hung up the phone.
So Opportunity has already called you twice and you've already hung up. Wow.
Twice. So the third time I got up, I turned on my light, I got my clunky phone, and I looked, and it said 202. And that's a DC number. You should see my blood pressure and everything just dropped. And I said, oh my God. And I picked up the phone and it said, this is the last time. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm so sorry, sir. I thought it was a joke. And he's like, if you would like an interview, you can come by my district office and you can call back. Thank you. And he hung up.
Was it a bot? I mean, was it like an automated message or was it actually Congressman Hinojosa? No,
it was Congressman Hinojosa calling me on the phone to tell me that there was an opportunity for me to go to DC. And I thought that I was being pranked at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was the most humiliating thing ever. So what ended up happening was I made an appointment, and back in the day, they had their office where the old tax building was on 15th Street. I don't know if you remember that, but the offices had these little windows and they looked like little ship windows, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to the office for my interview, and the lady in front, her name is Norma, I'll never forget. She was so sweet. She's really nice. Thank you so much, ma'am. We'll interview you shortly. And all I could see was all these little eyes peeping through the little window.
Uh-huh.
And I told the lady in the front, I said, I'm sorry, why is everybody looking through the window?
Because that's the girl that hung up twice and answered on the third time.
Yeah. That's exactly what she said. She's like, well, young lady, you hung up with the congressman twice and we just wanted to know who you were. And so.
Shout out going out to Congressman Hinojosa, man. Hey, if you're listening, Congressman. Hey, I'm so glad you gave her an opportunity on the third time. Cause I mean, opportunity was knocking.
I was so glad too. And I did really well in the interview. And so when I moved to DC, that was my first job. And have you ever been to DC? Have you, are you familiar with the area?
I am. Yeah, I have.
Okay. So I moved to DC and I'm from South Texas. So my idea of 8 miles means 8 minutes. And so I moved to a town called Alexandria, which said on the map that it was 8 minutes away. So I moved over there and it took me an hour and 45 minutes every day to get to work because of the traffic.
Man.
And so I had to be up in the morning by 5 a.m. so I can open the office by 7 a.m. And then I had to be out of there so I could go to graduate school. And I would literally get home anywhere between 12:45 and 1 a.m.
Our listeners right now, if they're listening, this was before online classes. So you literally had to be in that room with your professor.
Oh yeah. And not only that, but I had to open the office. I was in charge of making sure that everything was in order, that, you know, the phones, that we had the coffee, that we had everything. So we had people coming into the office, and I used to give tours. So okay. I used to give congressional house tours, and I had to memorize all of the paintings, and I had to memorize everything to give people tours. So by the time I got there to the office, I was so exhausted just because of the drive and right. the snow. It was insane. And I thought to myself, next time, whenever I talk to students, and I do this all the time, I always tell them, don't ever get an apartment and not go see where it is before you get a job. Because what ends up happening is you can end up like me and have an apartment that's 2 hours away, even though it's only 8 miles. So it was a great experience for me. And I'll tell you something that I tell my students all the time is they would always tell me, but you would just answer the phones. You were a staff assistant. You would answer the phones. And I said, I was the gatekeeper. That's what I was. And that's what you have to understand. Even if it's your first job, you know, this was the first time that I had a position like that. And I didn't see it as a staff assistant making coffee, answering the phones. I saw it as an opportunity to get to understand and meet people. And it was such a honor for me to be able to do that, because I would be answering phones from callers from the district talking to me about issues about education, issues about healthcare, issues about veterans. And I would be the one routing those calls. So to me, even though it was a small job, it was my job, and it was important enough for me. So there's no job too small. And I think that this was, for me, one of the greatest experiences of my life.
You know, you touched on a very important topic there, and it talks about being the perspective that one takes. You know, can we agree that nothing in life is real and everything is based on perspective?
Yes.
So, you know, when you took that staffing assistant position, you know, if you were just to be casually talking to your friends and they had no idea where you were working at, and you're saying, well, I'm an administrative assistant, you know, the condescending views are probably going to start happening. However, once you start making them aware of where you're at with the congressman in Washington, D.C. for a district, you know, the understanding of like, man, you're the gatekeeper. Yeah. You know, like, and that's something that I tell people all the time.
It's true. You know, I would tell my mom, I would call my mom and I would tell her,
did you know this?
You will never guess who I was in the elevator with. Yeah. And my mom is a huge, huge Kennedy fan. And I told her I was in the elevator with Ted Kennedy, right next to him.
What'd she say?
And she's just like, you're lying. And I said, I'm going to take a picture next time. And I sure did. I took a picture with Ted Kennedy. I took a picture with Nancy Pelosi. I took a picture with everybody I could think of. And I was in the elevator with them every day, and they were making decisions about the law of the land. And yes, I was a staff assistant, but the invaluable amount of experience that that gave me is unbelievable. Like, one of the things I tell my friends, all of the buildings are connected, and you have to go through underground tunnels to go from one building to the next building to the next building.
Right.
Well, I worked in DC almost 10 years. I can go through those underground tunnels like it's nobody's business. And the first year I worked there, I would get lost 100% of the time. And so I tell people, you know, being there on the ground, boots on the ground, makes all the difference in the world, because you get to see how people work and get to make lifelong friendships. And if you want your member to talk to another member and you're really good friends with the assistant, you could just pick up the phone and you could just say, hey, my boss really needs to talk to your boss. Is there any time? And they'll tell you, like, oh, they have 5 minutes where they're going to be walking from here to here. If you stand here, you'll get to talk to them. And so it's those types of things that make a difference in this type of race. Because if you know kind of the battlefield, then you'll understand how it works.
I like how you said that. If you understand the terrain, the battlefield, you kind of can be more strategic in a sense, right?
Right.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So you're running for this congressional seat and, you know, you got opponents, obviously. You got a lot of people that decided to come up to run for this position.
And which is great.
Which is amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gives people a variety. But what makes you so different from the others?
I think one of the things that makes me different from the other candidates is the experience, and not just the experience on working on Capitol Hill, but also the experience of working with the federal government. I worked with the Department of Labor in the Office of Federal Contract Compliance, and we would audit federal contractors to make sure that their hiring policies were correct. And I understood the importance of making sure that our job was done daily. One of the things that I remember very clearly was there was a lady in one of the subcontractors, and she's always wanted to be a backhoe operator. And she was qualified for that position every year for 10 years, and she never got hired. And what we were able to do at my job was do a regression analysis of what she would have made had she gotten hired when she was eligible for the next 10 years. And they cut her a check and they sent it to her. And we don't get to say it's us that, you know, it's because of us that you got a check, or, you know, it was our investigation, or we don't get to say any of that. But what we do get to do is we get to mail that check. And to me, that was one of the best days of my life, because I thought to myself, here's this lady who had been qualified for 10 years and had been overlooked. And because of the work that we did, she's now being compensated. And so that's what's important. Never lose sight of the fact that you work for the people. You work for your constituents. And no matter what happens, you have to do what's best for them. And so for me, I think that's why experience matters. It matters because it makes a difference in the lives of people in District 15.
Right on. No, yeah, absolutely. When you're trying to do good for good, you know, good will be compensated, and you'll be in good terms with the people. And that's what I'm hearing, the ability to serve. So I want to go back. I want to step back a little bit with respect to your education. I know you got your doctorates, so you did your dissertation. What was your dissertation on?
My dissertation was actually on voter turnout in 18-year-olds here in this region. And I was able to do my dissertation by helping form an organization, a nonprofit organization here called ACT, the Advocacy Alliance Center of Texas. We registered close to 20,000 youths. And what I did during my dissertation is I followed them. I followed them through a primary. I followed them through a general. We did different outreach efforts to them. And we were able to show that if there is engagement, it doesn't matter how old they are, they're going to turn out and they're going to vote. and they're going to vote at higher percentages than other parts of the country, regardless of their economic status. And so that's really important, because a lot of the times other parts of the country receive more funding because more people vote in the area. Like you have Fort Bend, for example, they have a voter turnout of over 80%. Well, Fort Bend has the best schools in the state of Texas. You know, they have everything you can think of. We don't, but we can. We can. And the difference is participation. And that's what's important.
So this study that you did, it was in
2014.
And from 2014 to now, I mean, has the participation increased for 18-year-olds?
Yes. So participation has increased since we started ACT. Participation increased substantially during that presidential race during 2012. And it increased gradually for the 2014 and the 2016. But we started at like a 20% rate. So really, we only had to go up. I mean, right, we couldn't hardly go any lower, you know? But yes, we have had a significant increase in voter turnout. And it's a lot of things. It's campaigns to increase voter turnout. It's engagement. It's, you know, civics classes. It's people getting involved. It takes a village.
Yeah. You know, the divide right now is paramount. I mean, the divide between two parties, Republican, the GOP and the Democratic Party, it's almost like you have to choose one, right? And when I engage with individuals or potential voters, I like to ask them, like, what is drawing you to the polls? What you know, and the responses that I normally get is a lack of trust. The lack of trust is something that continues to be a huge topic in any given point. My response to that is always this: you can keep on non-trusting, but you got to have some type of faith that the system is going to work in some manner and that the laws are going to be put into place, you know, to ensure that they're carried out. I mean, corruption is going to exist no matter which day and time of a particular century. It's still going to exist because greed will exist, evil, you know, like the human mind will continue to develop into those manners. But what are we doing to ensure that we try to stay the track in a positive way? I mean, what's your thought on corruption? What's your thoughts on that perception that the average voter has?
I think it's kind of going back to what we said about the power of an individual, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this lady that I talked about earlier, she wouldn't have gotten her compensation check if one person hadn't been running a regression analysis and looking at what she needed. The power of the individual is so important because it makes the difference, especially in voting. You know, we have some elections that are one or two votes apart. I mean, we have some elections that literally are the difference between funding of a school district and not funding of a school district. And so I think for people that feel that there's corruption and feel that they aren't as engaged, I think they need to look inside and think about everybody else prior to us in history that worked for us to have the right to vote, that really spent their livelihoods and their time in order for us to have this privilege. And I think about that all of the time. You know, I tell my students when I talk to them, you know, the best thing you can do when you're 18 years old is go out and vote. Yeah. I mean, really, It's the first thing that you can do that really will set you apart. You know, I remember when I was 18 and I had just moved to college, I got to vote for the Gore versus Bush race. I never got to vote for Clinton, unfortunately, but or Bill Clinton, that is. But I got to vote for the Gore versus Bush race. And I remember going to sleep thinking, okay, Gore won. I'm going to sleep now. And then I woke up in the morning and
the hanging chat.
And he did it. and it was all about votes.
Right, right.
You know? And how ironic that, you know, you think about the importance of what your vote does. And that's exactly what Florida was. You know, it was an example of how each and every vote counted. And it proved to me to be such a valuable lesson in that,
yeah,
you never give up. You know, you never give up because it's important and it matters.
I believe I was in high school when that happened, or about to finish high school. What year was that? Do you remember?
2000.
Yeah, I was still in high school. Yeah, so shout out going out to Med High. I heard that you are a Med High graduate. Is that true?
I am. I'm a Med High graduate, class of 1999. I was senior class president. I am super proud of all of my colleagues, and South Texas ISD provided me a great education. I'm also from FAR, so shout out to PSJA, because that's where I went to middle school. And I just had a great time. I had a great time at the time. I was 100% sure I was going to be a physician. And I went to college and my undergraduate was in biology and chemistry. And all of a sudden I took a government class and it was just like.
Changed your world, huh?
Yes. It changed my life. It changed my life. I just thought to myself, wow, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to work in civil service. I want to help people. And so, unfortunately for my mother, I'm not a physician, but I did get my doctorate. So
yeah, for our listeners, she's a doctor, but not the kind that helps people.
Right.
That's an excerpt from the last lecture. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Oh man, you got to check it out. The last lecture on YouTube, and this pretty much talks about the importance of life. What this was a professor who was, he was going through this cancer, and so he already knew he was going to die. So he decided to record the last lecture and what he would tell his students on how to live life. It's a very impactful.
I'm gonna have
testimony.
To listen to that.
And that's what he said. He says, I'm a doctor, but not the kind that helps people. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out, it's YouTube, the last lecture. In any case, so you have a wealth of experience is what I gather, but my listeners have some questions. They're sending me text messages right now. Hey, I hear that you're podcasting with Dr. Elise Alvarado. Can you ask her what her top five is on her playlist, Spotify playlist?
My top five. let's see. Usually in the morning on Spotify, I do the energy boost. So I have a lot of Beyonce. Let's see, Rihanna. I have some Jay-Z. I have some Cardi B. But one of my top favorites is Adele. I know that it's not necessarily the most energy boost music you could listen to, but yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Rolling in the deep, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's a very good playlist right there. Beyonce, Jay-Z, Riri, Cardi B. I mean, you tell me what your day's starting off like when you're listening to Cardi B.
You know, it just all depends. It all depends. I think sometimes especially on paydays, you know, it's all about the money. And so I think to myself, I'm going to have to pay all my bills and pay my student loans. And so usually that's my Cardi B day.
You just tapped into another subject matter right there, student loans. You know,
let me tell you,
that was one of the things that President Biden, campaigned on.
100% of the time, you know, will you support student loan reduction? Will you support? I will absolutely support that. I mean, I think it's ridiculous that a student can't go to a regular bank and get a loan for a car for $5,000, yet they can sign off on a piece of paper and get over $150,000 to go to school.
Right.
I mean, you think about the difference in that. You know, a regular banking institution won't lend you $5,000, but if you want to go to school, they'll lend you $150,000. And all you have to do is sign a sheet of paper. I'm all about student loan reduction.
Let's bring them down, wipe it out, $50,000 off. That's what President Biden was talking about.
I approve that message.
Well, hey, man, it's been a wonderful time spending some time with you here at the Joe's About Podcast. We're going to have to come back for a second episode. We got a lot more to talk about, but you know what? Thank you so much, Dr. Elisa Alvarado. Anything else? Last shout outs going out.
Shout out to my mom and my dad, my biggest supporters out there, my family and my friends. Thank you so much for always being there for me. And of course, constituents of District 15, I ask for your vote and your support in this election.
That's what's up. All right. Thank you so much, Elisa Alvarado, Dr. Elisa Alvarado for Congress.